BC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, with my fabulous co-host Ellen Little, and my friend Honey Smith-Wells is here. Welcome to the show.
Yes,
and we also have a friend in the audience who's visiting with us. Mr. Henry Stevens is here. Welcome. So, action-packed show today, Miss Ellen.
Really action-packed. So much so that we don't have a second to spare.
Yes.
For kitchen table topics or your trip to Trinidad or any of those things. So we'll have to catch everybody up.
Miraculously, I could probably do everything. But for our listeners who are tuning in today, we have a friend of mine, Ashwati Thomas, is going to be calling in from Texas. She's going to be talking about a blog that she wrote about dark skin and self-confidence and how it affects people of color, minorities, and just people all over the world. She is of Indian descent like myself. And so we'll be talking to her in the second half of the show. The first part of the show, we've got my friends who are online already, who are already on the phone. They wrote a book called Secret of Eight. The names are Andrew and Crystal Underwood, and they'll be speaking to us in a little bit about their book and about bullying, which all of us know that's happening in the workplace, at home, in playgrounds, restaurants. People are just too busy to be kind. We need a kinder, gentler world, don't we?
Absolutely.
Right. And then we also have one of our friends who's running for election, re-election, Mr. Sean Ferguson, is going to stop by and just join us on set in the studio. He is on the Rockledge City Council, seat 2, and he's going to stop by for a few minutes later during the show. So before we do anything else, we're just going to go right to our guest on the phone. We have Andrew and Crystal Underwood, the authors of Secret of Eight. Welcome, and thank you for calling in from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yes, it's probably getting cold up
thank
there.
Thank you.
So
we're glad to be here.
Oh, thank you both so much. I could just picture the scene, both of you sitting there by talking to us on the phone, and we're just delighted that you're taking the time to call in. So tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about yourselves, and I love your love story and how you met as well.
Well, the unique way that we met is we, many years ago, signed up and joined a writing website, and it was a place that you could tell your stories and people could critique them, or they could tell you, you know, some ideas about what to write. And that's where we met. And it was through one of the assignments that they gave you, it was called a chapter story, where I would start a story and I'd finish the one chapter of it, and then I would send it to Crystal through email, and then she would pick up where I left off. And we did that for about 2 years. And then when we went back and really took a hard look at what we had done, that's how the whole first book was written.
Amazing. So tell us, what is the story about, and what is your target audience? What is the target age for this book?
The story is about a group of kids that are all kind of misfits that don't really feel like they fit in. It's set in the 1980s, and they kind of become fast friends when a new kid moves into the neighborhood, into the haunted house, and they kind of come together despite the differences and become friends and gain some powers along the way that help them solve the mystery.
But,
as far as the target age, it's starting at about tween and up. However, a lot of the adults that are our age and mid-age have really loved it because it kind of takes them back to their childhood.
Well, thank you. That's beautiful. And in today's age, where all of us are looking to be appreciated and accepted, and we want a kinder, gentler world, what kind of message are you sending to your readers?
Well, the thing that we really want to, the message that we really want to get out, that it's okay to be different. it's okay not to be trying to be normal like everybody else is trying to in the world today, that we should be able to accept the differences in others and not try to make them feel like they have to be normal.
Right, and I think that starts, all of that starts in the home. The foundation for everything starts in the home, where we really need to sit down with each other and talk to our children, talk to our family members, and find out what's going on in their lives. And maybe we could just be inclusive and help people, you know? So I noticed that you all talk a lot about anti-bullying and suicide. So what is anti-bullying and suicide prevention? And how is that important to you? How does it play into the book?
Well, both of us growing up had experienced bullying on extreme levels. Andy was a skinny, geeky kid with naturally curly hair that he couldn't control. And I had red hair and an anxiety disorder, which made me an easy target. We also saw it with our children while they were in school. And we saw a lot of kids that we knew that committed suicide because they felt like they weren't accepted and never would be. So it's a very important topic for us to hit on with our youth, not just the youth, but the adults as well.
I know. I remember in our village back in Trinidad and Tobago, I remember attending a funeral for a girl who had committed suicide. And I think she was 16, and it hit a lot of us pretty hard, because it had something to do with sexual assault and abuse by her stepfather. So I understand what you're saying. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, where can someone find your books?
Right now, you can find it on our Facebook page.
It's secretof8book.com is our Gmail. You can see it at secretof8book Facebook page, or thebookpatch.com also sells it. And it should be available for Amazon e-readers within the next week.
Now, you're both writing, and I know you love it, and you also have regular jobs, so I really, really appreciate you taking the time to call in. But tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, all the way in sunny Cocoa, Florida, what are your future book plans?
Okay. Right now, we're about three-quarters of the way done with our second book, and that is called The Wandering. And it's the same group of kids. And they have another mystery that they're working on. After that, we have our third book in the series is
Freaks to the Left is the name of it. And each one of our books focuses on a child that is different. The first one focuses on a deaf child. The second book focuses on a child with OCD. And in the third book, we're hoping to focus on Down syndrome.
Those are wonderful ideas.
We're trying to make the audience aware of what some of the differences are that are out in the world, and how that it's acceptance, not tolerance, the message that we want to put forth.
Andrew and Crystal, this is Honey Smith Walls. I am just so pleased to hear about your ideas and your books. It's so needed in the tweens, and just being a great example in this age. Wow, that's wonderful. You get all of my applause.
Yeah, and we're going to make sure, Ellen is going to make sure to post about your books and stuff on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. and we're going to put it on our website. So are you trying to get the book into as many schools as possible? Because as you know, a lot of bullying takes place where children are ignored in schools. They're sitting in lunchrooms by themselves. Children pit each other. They pit one against the other, mm-hmm. even at that young age. So what are you doing to see if you can get the book into as many schools as possible?
One of the things that we're trying to do right now is we're getting it into the school board members' hands and into the school board curriculum director's hands, and having them read it and telling them what the message is, so that they can become part of the reading curriculum within the school up here in Erie.
Yes, Honey just had a comment.
That's excellent. From the top down. That's how that needs to go.
Right.
That's great.
And what about in the public libraries? I mean, of course, you know, this morning I went to a meeting for something about the children here in Florida. And they were talking about children not being able to read. And I think a lot of it comes because parents don't have enough time. They don't have a library card themselves, and therefore they don't read with their children. So what are you all doing to get that into more libraries as possible?
Right now, we just started. It's registered with our Erie County Library System. We're also looking into the outlying states like New York and Ohio. We're kind of expanding out from there. We also are actually donating them to the little free libraries that are across the country that are like just these little boxes in public places like parks that have free books that you can borrow and return.
Yeah, and you know what? You probably should need to write a book for adults as well. We have a lot of adults that are bullying each other. And, I'm not sure what's happening with our nation.
Like
but
in
I'm
front
seeing,
of everybody on the news, you
exactly.
mean?
Yeah, but I'm seeing exactly. it a lot. And it's like, you know, at some point, someone has to stop and say, listen.
And be the example of goodness.
Yes, we have to say, stop it.
Yes.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, when the good Lord calls us home, whether you're cremated or you end up in the cemeteries in a little plot, we're not taking anything with us but our good name and what we did, that dash from the day we were born until the day we left. But I'm seeing a lot of people that that are constantly being criticized too. And criticism leads to what? Low self-esteem. Are you all finding that as you give your speeches and talk about the book that you're seeing that as well?
Oh, yes, definitely. A lot of it, I think, is concentrating right now on getting the children while they're young to get this message across and possibly influence their parents and the elder people in their lives because it's a different day and age compared to what we grew up with.
It surely
well,
is. Crystal, have you considered doing an app that teases the children with the stories?
That is something that we are looking at doing as well as we want to create a a center or a website to go with, you know, some of our podcasts where we're getting set up so we can do podcasts where if a parent needs to get some advice, how do you talk to your kids? You know, how do you start that conversation? We want to have tools there that parents can go and say, oh, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. And the same thing with kids. They can click on a link in the book or on our webpage and say, well, how do I start a conversation with my parents? You know, sometimes we get so busy as parents that we forget to listen.
Right, and we all know that technology is the wave of the future. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we are speaking with Andrew and Crystal Underwood, and they're taking the time to call in from Erie, Pennsylvania, and speak about their book, Secret of Eight. We are so appreciative. Tell us one more time where someone can find this book, and then Ellen will take it from there.
Okay, we have a Facebook page. It's called secretof8book.com on Facebook. And you can also get the book on thebookpatch.com. And we're hoping by the end of the week that we will have the book available through amazon.com as well for e-readers.
That's great. And I've posted everything on our Facebook page under CETA Media Inc. And one other thing that, CETA, I don't even know that we brought up, but we have friends that listen to the show all the time that are actually going out and doing speaking engagements at schools that talk about the anti-bullying and being different and how it's okay to be different. So hopefully those folks are listening and we'll get that information out to all of them as well. But we're going to take a quick break now. Thank you so much for calling in and letting us know about the Secret of Eight book. All of that is posted on our show page. And we will be right back with our next guest.
Portions of CETA and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no-credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473. 2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Bigee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. And what an action-packed show we have today. Ellen, you know, that was a really good segment with the people, Crystal and Andrew, calling in from all the way Pennsylvania. Our show really gets around, doesn't it?
And you did such a great job.
Thank you. Why don't you tell our listeners right now where they can hear our show and how they can get the podcast?
So on our Facebook pages, we've got a ton, between Sita and I and the show pages, we've got quite a few thousand people that are on those pages. You can certainly get that at SitaMediaInc.com and also Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. There's one page and one business page. And then also on our website, SitaMediaInc.com, is all of our shows. And can you believe, Sita, that we've been on the air almost 8 years and we've had 52 shows a year? So you can imagine over 8 years how many guests and how many exciting shows that we've had. And all of our people that are listening and go to that website can actually look at any one of them. There's a great search engine. They can look up by topic or by guest name.
Thank you.
So it's very exciting, yes.
Well, you know, one of the things that is near and dear to my heart is politics. I believe that life is politics. From the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, what kind of clothing you wear, what streets you drive on, the kind of health insurance you have, whether you can afford your medication, whether you can afford a home. You know, we all know the big three.
And local politics
taxes,
is so much more important.
Right, and here's the thing.
Because that impacts us the most.
It does, and a lot of people don't understand that insurance and taxes, mortgages, it's all part of what we're waking up every day, the big three, we're paying all these things. But tomorrow, there's an election right here in Florida. I don't know, I suppose it's a whole state, I'm not sure, but I know Brevard. Yes. I'm concerned right now about Brevard. And there's a gentleman here with us, his name is Sean Ferguson. He's on the Rockledge City Council seat 2. He's committed to a community and dedicated to progress. And you know what? I, for one, I'm sick of the hostility. We all need to become advocates for truth and facts, right? Yes. And so we need to put partisan politics aside and elect people who actually care about the community. Forget about the alphabet behind people's name, whether it's a D or an R or an I, but put people in place that actually live in the community, love the community, and want to see the community thrive.
And take the opportunity to meet them.
That's right.
And that's what we do. That's what you do so well on the show.
Talking about meet them, Mr. Ferguson and I met a long time ago. We've been friends on Facebook for a while, but we actually bumped into each other at one of our sponsors, Hospice of St. Francis, had a gala, and he sat with me and he heard all about Dr. Bigee's gardening and the beans, the long beans.
Right.
So anyway, so tell our listeners a little bit about
that farm connects so many
people.
Yes, right.
Those beans. Oh my goodness! And Kimberly, of course, she said, "Mom, please." But anyway, so tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why up for election, and why you want to do it again.
Good afternoon. I'm so excited, and I do love her beans. Of course, I heard all about it, but I just didn't hear about it. I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
She sent my daughter-in-law the pictures, so I had the opportunity to see the beans.
Yes.
So now I'm just looking forward to eating the beans
next.
But anyway, it's an honor to be here. Thank you, Sita, and all those that are here this afternoon to be a part of this. I'm loving this program. I'm loving what's going on. But I am Sean Ferguson. I'm actually have been on the city council for 3 years. Our terms are every 3 years. I'm excited about the opportunity. Why? I'm a pastor and have been serving in our community. Well, I was born and raised right here in Rockledge. But the reason I'm doing this is because I love my city. And I want to make sure that my city stays the amazing city that it is. And I'm the type of person, I'm not going to sit back, talk about, complain, criticize. No, I want to do my part. I believe that all of us are assigned to do something. And so I believe that this is my something that I'm called to do.
Right.
And so that's why I'm there and I'm excited about it.
Right. And just to be sure, I invited Sean as my friend. So he's part of my show today.
Right.
You know, so the thing is, you know, we all sit down and we talk about education. We talk about affordable housing. We talk about healthcare. And we see people in our community that are struggling and facing so many challenges on a daily basis. So what is your platform to reach out to people and say, this is my platform, this is what I want to do?
Again, I'm invested in my community, number one. I am, again, born and raised right in the city of Rockledge. raised by a dad who was a Space Center employee at NASA, and he retired from out there. My mom is a educator and has been an educator in Brevard County, retired Brevard County school teacher. So my roots go really deep.
And the fact that you're a realtor and a pastor,
good point,
that is the absolutely foundation of any city, you know, where you go to pray and have faith, and then real estate runs the economic world.
That's true.
That's the biggest part.
Isn't that what we talk about a lot on the show, having faith, family, a little food, a little finance, and trusted friends, right? Yeah. We talk about that all the time, and he's both.
And he's on the cutting edge of seeing all of it.
Yes.
Capture the heart and the home.
That's right. So here's the thing. People often ask, you know, why bother? Why run for re-election, right? Because I guess some people are just nosy and they want to know what's going on, but there are others that want to really know. Yeah. Here's a guy wearing a pink shirt, running around and just knocking on doors, talking to people about himself and why he wants to get reelected. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, it probably means a lot to you because you're vested.
Yeah.
You're totally invested.
Yeah, totally vested. Well, let me first tell you about this pink shirt if I can.
Yeah, I like it actually. Real men wear pink.
Real men wear pink. But my campaign is dedicated to my late wife. She passed away in January, this past January 18th.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
My condolences.
So my campaign, if you notice, it has a little ribbon on the side with her initials. She passed away of breast cancer in January. And she was such an advocate for our community, really involved in our community. I'm actually a chaplain with the police department, so she's always been instrumental with me. You know, I think she always wanted to be a cop or was a cop. She went through the academy. It was like a Citizens Academy. Man, she had a ball. But she was alongside with me my last campaign 3 years ago. And so there was no way, you know, people kind of discounted me and felt like, well, Sean's going through a rough time. Maybe he doesn't need to run. But I needed to run. Why? Because I'm running not only for the citizens of Rockledge, but I'm running for my wife because she was such a lover of
her. Well, she's looking down at you, Sean.
Sure. Amen.
I can feel her presence right here.
Amen. I believe that. And so she was right there with me 3 years ago, and I know she, just like you said, she's with me today. So that's why I wear the pink. And because
so it's to honor her.
To honor her and her memory and her love for her city and her love, obviously, for community and her involvement. She was a social worker. And so she was really, really involved, worked with several hospitals in Brevard County, and really was intricately involved in a lot of things with health care even.
So tomorrow's the election.
That's it.
And are there a lot of places that people can vote? I mean, I know I was listening to NPR this morning, and they were talking about a lot of places have been moved. A lot of the voting places have been moved. They've changed the sites and things like that. Where are some of the, I mean, is it online where people can vote? Or how, I mean, are they... I mean, I would think that most people know, looking at their voters' registration cards, where they should go. What is your district, and what should people know?
In the city of Rockledge, there are 6 voting precincts. One for precinct 132 and 211 is McLarty Park, right there on Barton Boulevard. And you want to make sure you note that if you live in that area. Now, again, the city of Rockledge is, we don't have certain precincts with our seats. They're not attached to certain areas. So we're something called at large. So all the citizens of Rockledge, they can vote for myself. The other precinct is Precinct 200, which is located at the Rockledge Fire Station number 1, right there on US 1 in Rockledge, as well as Precinct 219. That's if you're living in that area next to Gulfview, that's Coco Rockledge Garden Club, as well as Precinct 224. That's going to be at the Hope United Church of Christ right there on Fisk Boulevard in Rockledge. Now, the one that has been moved is the Brevard Baptist Association. Now, that's for Precinct 438 and 439. That location has been moved to the Cross Bridge Church that now also includes 438, 439, 417, and 425. Now, the Cross Bridge Church is located, which is my precinct, which is located at 651 Barnes Boulevard. Now, that's the only precinct that has been moved, which, again, is Precinct 438 and 439, which met at the Brevard Baptist Association. They're now at the Cross Bridge Church, located at 651 Barnes Boulevard in the city of Rockledge.
Right. And for those who live locally and complain about everything under the sun, this is your chance to go out and vote.
That's right.
You have no business complaining if you don't exercise your right to vote.
That's right.
So many people died for that. And in so many countries, people are fighting for that.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. We can't have progress without dialogue.
There you
And the only way to have your dialogue is by voting. That's your right. You are voicing your concern. But you can also read about the candidate. And if you don't know about the candidate, they all have websites. I'm sure you have a website, too.
That's right. My website is voteforshawn.com.
And that's the number four.
The number four.
Right.
Absolutely. V-O-T-E, the number four. My name is Sean, S-H-A-U-N.
.com. I like he's a really a easy name, you
That's
know.
Right. So where can the folks, the constituents of this great area, where can they find you tomorrow?
They'll find me all over. I'll be at all five of those precincts.
So can they Facebook you or
sure
like
can.
Email you and find out where
they
you
sure
are
can.
Just to give an opportunity to, if they haven't already had an opportunity to meet you and introduce
Absolutely.
Themselves.
I would love the opportunity to be there. I'll be out at 7 o'clock in the morning at my precinct. Starting at my precinct, that's again at the Crossbridge Church, which is located at 651 Barnes Boulevard. Also, you can email me at voteforsean again at AOL.com. That's V-O-T-E, the number four, Sean, S-H-A-U-N, at AOL.com. Now, you can also find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook with my name, Sean Ferguson, spelled S-H-A-U-N, Ferguson, F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N. Or you can go on to my page for City Council, which is Sean Ferguson, Rockledge City Council, Seat 2. Please inbox me. I would love any questions. I would love to meet you personally. I'm actually going to be knocking on doors
right.
as soon as I leave here. I'm
hey, as a pastor, a realtor, and a city official,
yes.
there's
you
no reason for you not to meet everybody.
Right. You got everything. And you know what?
Good point.
You know what people need to understand about politics, too? Anyone who puts their hat in a ring to run, whether it's local, state, or national, right. even the president, whatever. Be grateful. People, it's not an easy task to be running for office.
Right.
We take a lot of hits from all sides. And the thing is, people do it because they actually love a community.
Absolutely.
So I think for everyone who's running, whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent, nonpartisan, give the people the benefit of a doubt and read about them. If you don't know about them, ask a neighbor, ask a friend. Look at Rockledge, though. I was telling Sean when I met him, he's actually on the board of Hospice of St. Francis
Absolutely,
as well.
Right.
I was telling him when my husband had his practice in Rockledge, how easy it was to go to the Rockledge City Hall.
Yes.
And we saw the development in Rockledge. We saw the beautiful trees, the roads, the flowers. Mm-hmm. The turnaround time for a business receipt was less than 24 to 48 hours.
That's
good
right.
things happening in Rockledge.
Yes,
and that's
Absolutely.
Because good people are elected into the Rockledge City Council.
Yeah.
So vote tomorrow. Seat 2 for our friend Sean Ferguson. I'm so glad we met.
Thank you so
Imagine
much.
Meeting over Bean. I was just telling him about
Sita,
my
you always
husband's
meet people
garden.
Over food.
Well, I was telling him about
it
the
always
garden.
Works.
And
that
I was like, look
yeah,
at this bean from my husband's garden. And whether
she
he
did.
Wanted to see the bean or not, I put that picture in front of him. But, you know, I cooked the bean and I sent him a picture of it.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Well, we are going to take another quick break. As my alarm goes off here, another quick break
Thank you.
For our next segment with Honey Smith Wells or Wells Smith. I forget. I always get it confused. Honey, is it? We'll be right back.
John Coff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Man, we're making Paul work today, and I think he actually likes it. He keeps going. So we just had our friend Sean Ferguson on, and before that, we had our friends that called in from Pennsylvania.
Crystal and Andrew Underwood.
And we have a few minutes quickly that we'd like to give that to one of our sponsors for our show as well. Our friend Honey Smith Wells is here. And you tell our listeners, you do so much. The yoga lady, the CBD warrior. You're working with our friend Jordan in She's helping our friend Jordan
in Satellite Beach.
She talks about his business and all the great things what CBD is doing for people. And we all know people that are using CBD products. We know people who are meditating. We know people who are doing yoga. She's got it all wrapped up into one human body there. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, Miss Honey, before our next guest calls in.
Sita and friends, everybody who are here today, it's lovely to be with you. I want to thank Jordan Kelly and Natalie Shakawi, too, at American Shaman, two brand new franchises here in town. One's at Satellite Beach, right next to the old theater in the Publix parking lot. The other one's just down Wickham, at Lake Washington.
Is it already opened?
It's already open, and I'm so tickled to tell you it's the greatest gag on visuals, because American Shaman, the CBD store, sits right between the joint, my chiropractor, and on the other side, the munchie fixers, Beef O'Brady's. So you can't miss it, either one. So I love the location of both.
Live right there, like down the street.
Easy to get to, and they have really high technology in producing a water-soluble product that goes through your body. Go see either one of them. Just for Sita and Friends radio listeners, American Shaman is giving 20% off. So make sure you tell them that you heard it here. Yeah. My name is Honey Smith Walls. I have a little company here, actually in Melbourne, with a few big ideas. It's called Cannabivarum, Latin for cannabis truth. And really the main thing I want to get through to everybody today is a public service announcement that I heard attending the 2019 American Medical Marijuana Physicians Association conference a week ago. Their big public service announcement is, do not vape. Just don't do it. Do not vape cartridges. Just don't do it.
But
you can vape the leaf, the actual plant itself, and that will not hurt you. The problems with vaping right now are within the cartridges, not with vaping the proper leaf. So that is the big public service announcement. My friends in their shops won't like hearing me say that. Neither will my friends in the dispensaries. But that is what the cannabis specialists are telling us. And as a public service announcement, I want you all to know I'm your bridge between cannabis and community. And I want you to know what the truth of all of this is. There's 30 patients dead from using cannabis and nicotine cartridges that came from all kinds of places that they trusted. So, and there's over 1,000 people with debilitating
diseases,
not just disease,
heart, lung problems,
pneumonia.
Yes,
from vaping.
Yeah,
across the nation.
Well, you know, I always say no one should listen to one person. There's a lot of information for people to read.
Absolutely.
And understand.
Hello,
and
Google.
Right. And I think a lot of people make a big mistake when they just listen to one person and they don't listen to all sides of an issue.
Yes.
Because we all saw the people hooked up to respirators and monitors and the ICU
right
from vaping. And I always say, go right to the source. Go to MSNBC or a contributing place
more
that you saw that and read about it.
Go to the government sponsored companies where they're doing the research and development on cannabis.
And look at people all over the world. You know, we have people in India, in Africa, in the Caribbean, all over the place. They wake up every day. They do the best they can, the challenges that they face in life, and they survive. And oftentimes, people are eating their crops that they grow. Yeah, they're in Jamaica and Trinidad, people live, you know, and it's only here you have pharmaceutical companies that are involved regulating everything, which we need the regulations, but at the same time, you have to read and understand what you're taking into your bodies as well. We are what we eat, sleep, breathe, and think.
Whole body philosophy.
Yes, we
instead
are.
Instead of Western
and
medicine.
I, for one, I'm always one that I think people need to understand. For every time we have a regulation, something had happened, so we have that regulation. It just doesn't come out of the deep blue sky.
Well, we need it.
Right.
Our whole
we do
world
need it.
Runs on processes and procedures, right?
So I think our second guest, our call-in guest, is on the phone. And amazing, Ellen. I met this lovely girl, Ashwathi Thomas. She's taking the time to call in from Texas. And believe it or not, she's Indian like myself. And we have so much in common. And I read this article that she posted on Facebook. And she got so much interaction from it. I said to myself, I'm going to reach out to her and have her call in on our show. And I'm going to have her talk about that this article. Wait till you hear it. Ashwathi, you're on the phone calling in from Texas. So thank
Hi.
You.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. And you said you had one class today and now you're home.
Yes, now I'm home and I'm ready for this interview with you.
So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about yourself and why you wrote this article.
Okay, so my name is Ashwathi, and I am a college student at the University of Texas in Austin. And 3 years ago, I actually wrote this article titled, I'm Indian, I'm Dark, and I Don't Care. And it talks all about colorism, which is basically this discrimination against individuals with a darker skin tone within communities of color. And it was something that I had experienced my entire life growing up, and something that really affected my self-confidence and the way that I saw myself. And so I had a blog that I had created, ashwathithomas.com, and I decided to write all about what I had gone through so other people wouldn't have to feel that same way.
Right. And, you know, just after I booked you for the interview, I just read, I've been reading, you know, of course, this happened a lot in Trinidad and Tobago when I was a young girl as well, because I remember when they were choosing, you know, brides and bridegrooms, the skin color was something that so many families took into consideration. The darker skinned girls felt as though they did not have a chance with the people that were getting the bridegrooms. And I swore to myself back then, I would marry and I would marry well, whether I had dark skin or not. In my case, it helped me to develop a self-confidence and inner strength to tell the world that I am beautiful and I'm intelligent. But it concerns me that there are so many little dark girls and boys all over this world that feels as though they are less of a human being because of the color of their skin that God made them. And I think that's what you try to convey as well.
Do you think they get that
exactly,
attitude from...
Yeah. I think when you're young and you see, you know, you hear people saying all these things about the benefits of having lighter skin, or you see all these products and all these bleaching creams, like things like Fair and Lovely, you get it into your mind that, you know, having dark skin is not good enough. And I think when you're young, that's something, that thought is so toxic, and it really affects the way that you look at the world.
Right. And, you know, after we spoke, I went to Trinidad for Diwali last week. And sure enough, one of my nieces was talking about her complexion and how she got so much lighter with skin whitening creams, and how she felt so much brighter and fairer. And, you know, it at some point I had to stop her and say, you know, I've never used a skin lightening cream because I love what the good Lord made me. And she said, but Auntie, and you know, it was like Auntie Seeds, but you don't understand, everybody's doing it. And sure enough, you look at the Indian, the Bollywood films, you look at the dance videos, and I hate to tell you, but I see more people from London and the United States who are white Americans in these videos now than Indians. What has happened to the people that has caused them to disown their own, basically, and go with this lighter skin complexion for so many videos and movies?
You know, I think it all has to do with that same colorism mindset, and it's this idea that having darker skin is just not good enough. And I think when I was doing research for my blog, I was reading a lot about the Hindu caste system, which was, you know, very prevalent in India way back when. And usually those who were of the untouchable class were usually individuals who had darker skin tones. And so I think that's where that mindset really comes from. And you can see how much it affects, you know, our culture and our pop culture and Bollywood today, and how long lasting and how detrimental, you know, that thinking is.
Right. And so what kind of a response did you get after you wrote your blog?
The response has honestly been amazing. There were so many people from all over the world who had commented and sent me messages and emails about things and similar stories that they had gone through. And I think one of the craziest things was not only did I get all this support from strangers, but I was also able to get these messages and support from people that I've known my entire life saying, you know, I've gone through this for so long. Thank you so much for writing about it and talking about it. So that was definitely one of the coolest things about all of that.
Right. And you know, the good thing is a lot of us overcome the challenges and the stigmas around having darker skin. And it happens not just in the Indian culture, but it happens in other cultures as well. I have seen people from, you know, Spanish speaking countries that the darker girls still had that same issue like we did in the Indian culture. How did you overcome that stigma yourself, having the dark skin?
For me, I think a huge part of it was writing the article. When I first posted the article, I still kind of struggled with having darker skin and being confident in my skin.
But you're beautiful. I just want you to know you're beautiful. Ellen just pulled up your picture again to show our panel here on the show today. We have
Huffington Post article.
Yeah, our friend nice Sean job. Ferguson is running for office, and he's listening, and I know he's learning a lot. We have my friend Honey Smith-Wells is on a mic. Ellen is on, Paul, myself, and my friend Henry Phillips is here as well. And we're all learning. And thank you so much for explaining that for us. So go ahead. So you still feel a little how having your dark skin?
Yeah, so definitely when I first wrote that article, it was something that really affected me. But when I, you know, came out with this article and I said, you know, I'm Indian, I'm dark, and I don't care, I think that really solidified it for me. And when I, you know, people sent me messages and said, you know, I feel so ugly because I have dark skin. And I would think, like, no, you're not. Like, that's absolutely not true. And then it kind of made me realize, well, then why am I thinking this about myself? And I think another big thing that helped me overcome the challenges surrounding having dark skin was time. You know, when I was younger, it's really hard to believe in yourself and have that self-confidence because you're still so young, like your mind is still developing. But as I got older, you know, I really started to realize, like, I am beautiful the way I am. You know, this is the way God made me, and really appreciating that. So definitely, yeah, writing the article and just time and as I got older really helped me overcome those challenges.
And you know, we all say that beauty comes from within, but in certain countries, they really, especially India and Pakistan, I know for a fact, they put such an emphasis on the light and flawless skin. But I have to say that what I find was very interesting in helping not just myself but other people was education. When you're educated, you see things differently. You see things, you know, the way you see the world is different. And the way you measure success is not by the color of your skin, but really by the content of your brain and what you could give back to society as a whole. And I sense that you are going to be going a lot of places, my dear. So what's in store for you, my little friend, Ashweta Thomas? Now that you've written this article, you got the attention in the Huffington Post. My God, your Facebook feed has blown up. People are really looking up to you, you, and we see you as a person who really can lift others up. So what's in store for you?
You know, that's a great question. You know, right now I'm still in my second year of college. I'm actually a business major here at the University of Texas, so still have a lot to learn and a lot to figure out, but, you know, I'm definitely wanting to go down the path of helping other people. And I think, you know, writing this article has really made me, you know, find that passion of being a voice for other people and helping other people out. But as far as, you know, career-wise and really solid plans, you know, that is still for me to figure out, and we'll see what happens with that.
So would you say that by writing the article that you found that there was a kind of solidarity among people who face colorism?
Oh, for sure. Definitely, I would say yes. You know, I think one of the biggest things when I wrote the article was I realized how many other people were going through the same thing, because no one really talked about it in person. You know, growing up, I never really heard anyone say, you know, I don't care that I have dark skin. I never really heard that. But I remember when I was young and whenever I was struggling with the self-confidence, I remember I would look up things like why having dark skin sucks, or like having dark skin. And I would see all these, you know, posts online. And I actually found this one Facebook group called Dark Skin Women United. And I remember reading through all these posts from all these, you know, men and women all over the world talking about their experiences. And I remember how good it felt for me to be able to relate to their experiences and be like, you know, I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly what you're talking about. And so I think there definitely, you know, is a solidarity there. And there's all these movements, you know, there's hashtag unfair and lovely, you know, hashtag dark and proud, all these campaigns online that are really taking off. And I think there's a big community around that.
Right. And I think I read where Priyanka Chopra, people were comparing her skin tone. So when she first started acting in films, and now you definitely can see she used a skin lightening cream. I mean, you could see, and I think a lot of people were upset about that. But I mean, I guess people do what makes them feel good. But at the same time, when you're a role model like that and others are struggling, I think people, we ought to be true to ourselves, right? And I think Mr. Ferguson is going to jump in here. Do you have anything to add to this conversation?
I mean, I'm absolutely, the awakening and what I hear coming from her and how she's grown from this experience is absolutely amazing. I mean, I was born in the 60s when, you know, it was a real difficult time in certain areas of our communities. And I remember feeling the same way, even as a male. You know, being picked on because everybody in my surrounding area was, you know, they were white. And I was one of the very few African-Americans, and just how I was made to feel. And it took me a long time to mature to the place that she is now.
Right.
I mean, I didn't get there probably in my, what, late teens, are you, early 20s. It was, you know, 30s, you know, before I came to a place of awakening, of really enjoying who I was in my own skin. And that's a journey.
It's a journey. And so many people I know, like in our culture, they would disguise the skin lighteners and say, well, if you put on the skin lightening cream, it moisturizes your skin. It ain't moisturizing your skin. You're trying to get lighter. Absolutely. And let's be honest, all the Indian aunties, you know, when people went to temples or they went to functions, it was always, I mean, how many of us were told, don't go outside in the sun? How many of us have big houses with huge swimming pools, but we don't use our pools? How many of us go to the beach but hide, looking for a little area to hide? Because why? Our community rejected the people with dark skin.
Absolutely.
And I, as an Indian woman who grew up in Trinidad and Tobago, I saw that firsthand. I still see it up to today, where certain families treat certain children different in the same household.
Absolutely.
If a child is dark versus a child who's light. So my question, Ashweta, is
that's your niece's name.
You know, that's my niece's name. You know, how do we move forward to instill the self-confidence and to the little ones and say to them, don't listen to the people who are putting you down?
You know, I think the biggest thing is talking about it and having a conversation about it. I mean, I know if I was younger and I had someone who said, you know, there's nothing wrong with having dark skin, or dark skin looks great, you know, I would totally have felt so much better about myself and had all this confidence. But because no one really talked about it, and all I really heard was conversation about how great it was to have lighter skin, I never really was able to feel that confidence. And so I think, you know, a big thing, and that's, you know, with all the rise of the internet and social media, you really see all these campaigns happening to really promote you know, inclusivity and beauty. And I think that's a really big thing, is talking about it and letting, you know, other people know that there is nothing wrong with having a skin color, whether it's light or dark. And both are beautiful.
I think we need to teach people to love themselves and be your own best friend, no matter what.
Exactly.
But, you know, there's a running joke, you know, like how many doctors are outside playing golf or swimming? They're not. You can find Indians in libraries, and there's a reason why. They're hiding from the sun. Let's be honest. I remember a lady once said to my children, you know, you all shouldn't go out by the pool in the hours of 11 to 4 because you're going to get really, really dark. And then she looked at her own children and said, I don't want you to get dark like them. And I'm like, what the heck? You're saying that in my house, near my pool, lady. So I called her on it, and I said, I hear what you're saying because we grew up with it all our life, but this is America, and my children don't care if they get dark. They're going to jump in the pool at midday if they want to. You know, but I think you have to approach the issue and just tell people like it is, you know. So
exactly.
So tell us, so you're in college, and Miss Ellen wants to ask you a question, my co-host Ellen.
Yeah, so I know that it's great to meet you, and I'm enjoying reading all the articles. You are like all over the place on the internet, so congratulations. And I've also posted all of this on our Facebook page on cedamediainc.com, so people can get a chance to get to know you. But one of the things, you're a college student still, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, what's next for you? What's the big? Is there a big plan or a
know
you want to do? You're already an activist.
She probably was told the big three: doctor, lawyer, or engineer. I'm pretty sure somebody told her that. Or else.
I am not entirely sure. I know I definitely am going down the law route because I do love using my voice and speaking up for others. But I, you know, maybe doing some work with nonprofits. I mean, we'll see. It's all over the place. But thankfully, I have really great parents who are super supportive. And, you know, I think a lot of people have that typical Indian parent who tells them, you know, these are the big three jobs that you have. But my parents were never like that. And I'm
Thank
super
God.
Grateful for that.
My children would be grateful. And I know Honey wants to jump in here. She's just nodding her head. And she's really, I think every time we have a show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we've always said our show is very unscripted. It's very entertaining at times. It's very informative. And we do give out very valuable information. And I know that this segment with you will change the lives of so many people and uplift them to love themselves the way they were born and came into this world. So, Honey, I quickly, if you have a quick
Thank
question
you. Just
for her.
Really proud to hear of the work that you're doing in efforts for women and men and everybody with weird attitudes about color. I just think, correct me please, do people with insecurities, you know, aren't they just more easily controlled? And so in an effort to make people feel insecure, they harp on differences and, you know, darker versus lighter, whatever the issue of the day is, and then they're more easily controlled. Then we can go
Manipulate.
About our business manipulating them, exactly.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Ashwita?
I'm a little bit confused on the
She's asking if people, you know, if like somebody could find someone's insecurity, whether they're dark or whether they're light,
right.
whether they're short, whether they're tall, whether they're skinny, whether they're obese, and then they could have something to harp on that person, like pick on them.
Right.
It's sort of like bullying in a way.
Found the bullying thing and applied it to color.
Yeah. So she's asking if colorism is sort of like bullying in some ways.
Yeah, no, I think that definitely is something that exists. And I think especially with you know, things about your physical appearance, like dark skin, it's a lot more obvious because, you know, when you're someone with a darker skin tone in a crowd of people with a lighter skin tone, you know, it really stands out and people notice. And I think a lot of times people, unfortunately, use that as an opportunity to kind of, you know, say mean things. And that's not right.
And they sort of you just kind of get ostracized in a way, and it is a stigma in a way too, because I noticed even when, you know, when we were little and we would go to the temple or to weddings and stuff, the darker girls, I know, speaking from experience, we always felt as though we were being judged. And I don't like when human beings are judging each other, because I always say, if you have an issue with someone's hair texture or their skin tone or their race or their religion, why don't you just go upstairs and talk to God and come back down? Let him tell you why he made people all different colors, sizes, shapes, and religions. Because we find out a lot. We find so many people judging each other. And do you find that as well, that people are so judgmental for no reason?
Exactly. You know, I think I do. I think a lot of times, you know, people just judge based on what they see. And I think you need to look at people, you know, for more than what you see and really get to know who they are before you make any judgments about them.
Yeah. I would like to see India and the people in Bollywood make a concerted effort to put more darkies in their films. I just saw a film when I was in Trinidad, same thing. The three girls they looked white to me. They didn't even look Indian. They could have been mixed. It was a show called something Three and Me. My sister took me to see it. A fellow who was reincarnated, Ashkay Kumar, reincarnated, and he's got, you know, his whole life from 400 years ago in today's world. It was a pretty nice film, and it made you think about reincarnation and everything. But again, the three main girls in the show, they were not looking like you and I. So I think that's something that Indians in general, all over the world, have to take into consideration, that it should be a broader appeal. Don't just, you know, shouldn't just be one way.
And I really thought when Slumdog Millionaire, so many years ago, I really thought that that was going to take off and really kind of branch out to get more people, more again, different colors, different sizes, different ethnicities, different cultures. I really thought that that was going to be the start, and it didn't.
Check that movie if you get a chance. It was with Ashkay Kumar. I think it's called House of Four. I'm trying to figure out. My brother took us to see so many films that day, but check it out and you'll see what I mean. But thank you for calling in, and I would like for you to write for a broader audience. I know your articles are all over India as well. When I Googled your name, I found it all over the Indian press as well. But I would love to see you do more with that, because there are little Indian girls in those villages that feel like second-class citizens in their own country because of the way they look. And that is wrong all over the world. There's a right and there's a wrong. Yeah. There's a good and there's a bad. And that's terrible for any child to be brought into this world and feel that way, no matter what their class or color or race is.
Thank you so much for calling in. We're posting everything on our CETA Media Facebook page.
Oh, we're out of time, love, but I would love to have you call back in another time. Give us your blog. Tell us how we can find your blog really quick.
So my blog is ashwathithomas.com. It's just ASWATHI Thomas.com, all lowercase, no space. So you can find me there. And then all my social media links are on my blog. So, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes, and very easy to find. And like I said, you can go to the CETA Media Inc. Facebook page and you'll get all of this great information about our first two guests, Crystal and Andrew Underwood, for their book, their Secret of Eight book. In studio with us, Sean Ferguson, about
tomorrow,
vote for Sean. Yeah. Go vote. VoteForSean.com, and that's VOTE.
Or whoever
the number
you want.
SHAUN.com. And then also, it's so great to have Honey with us today. Thank you so much for sharing that PSA with us. And then our final guest, of course, Ashwathi Thomas, and great college student. And what a wonderful article and information she put out. But as always, CETA, you always get the best guests. And here, right here on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends, for the last 8 years, we've had multiple wonderful guests. Today is no different. We're so excited to be joining you again next week right here on AM 1510 WWBC. See you next week.
You're listening to